There is an initial story found at the end of the sixth parak of Bava Metzia about a workplace mishap that resulted in a din Torah. The Gemara in Pegimon Aleph tells us, Rabba Bar Chanan Tevaru Lehenu Shakulai Chavita Dehama. He had a couple of porters who broke a barrel of wine. They were carrying it and they broke it. Shaka Leglimai, they cost him a lot of money, he grabbed their shirts. Asu Amar Rab, they came and complained to Rab. He took it as a mashko, he wanted payment. Amar Le, Rab said to Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Havu Lehuglimai, give them their shirts back. Amar Le, he said to Rab, Dina Hafi, that's a din. Amar Le in. Rab said, yes. Leman Teleich Bederach Tovim. He quotes a pasuk from Mishlei. So that you should learn wisdom, so that you should walk in the path of those who are good. Yahid Lehuglimai, he gave them the shirt back. Amaru Le, they said, Aniye Anan, we're poor. V'tachinan kol yom, we worked all day. V'kafinan, and we're hungry. V'les lamid, we have nothing. Amar Le, Rav said to Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Zil hav agrayhu. Go pay them their wages for the day. You can imagine his response. Amar Lehu, Dina hachi. That's the din. Amar Le, in. And he quotes the second half of the pasuk in Mishlei, V'orchos tzadikim tishmor. You should guard the path of the righteous. Hajra alacha socha asimam. That's how they choose to end the parak on this story. The story is quite difficult to understand and perhaps even to swallow. The workers here botched a job and fundamentally were liable for any damages that they did. How is it that not only do they not have to pay for the nezek, but then Rav instructs Rabba Bar Bar Chanan to pay them wages for a job they didn't do. Rashi explains there that b'derech tovim means l'fnei mishuras hadin. Tosfos, however, in the second parak of Bava Metzia, explains that the Gemara does not call this l'fnei mishuras hadin. It doesn't, as it normally would in the rest of Shas. Nor does it cite the pasuk v'es ha-ma'aseh asher ya'asun, the usual source for l'fnei mishuras hadin, because the pasuk is only applicable to situations where others would be liable for something, but this individual has a technical exemption. However, in this case, no one would normally be entitled to compensation, nor would anyone normally be exempt from the damages. Hence, Tosfos claims this is beyond the ordinary scope, the ordinary principle of the Mishuras Hadin, it's something else. But this simply highlights the question, what's going on here? The Torah has a pair of mitzvos in this week's parasha which deal with labor law. You're not allowed to be oshek, to withhold the wages of a poor person, of an impoverished person, of your brother, of a gercha, anyone who lives in your land, includes a ger toshav, according to the Sifrei. You must pay him his wages on that day, and before the sun sets, because he's poor, he is dependent upon that. So that he should not call out to God against you, and you will have a sin against you. And whether he does call out to God or not, Sifrei points out, you're responsible anyway, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes faster when the Ani cries out. We are reminded here to pay our workers on time, especially, although not limited to, the poor and the ger tosha, based upon the arzacha, the non-Jew who lives amongst us, who works for us. On a technical level, the prohibition of Oshek Shkar Sachir only applies when the employer has funds available and chooses to withhold them. Nonetheless, there is an ethical imperative to make sure that when employing somebody, that biyomo sitein scharo can be fulfilled. That is to make sure that one is able to do so. The Sifrei comments, ve'elav hu noseas nafsho, ve'chilama ala zebekevesh umasar luchas nafshecha. Why did this person go up on a ramp, go up to some dangerous place to do the work, and hand over to you his soul, Lo shetita lo scharo bo bayom, so that you pay him that day. In kein lama nemar ve'elav hu naseas nasho. Why then does the Torah have to tell us ve'elav hu naseas nasho? We knew that already. Ela melamed shekala kovesh shar schachir. Anyone who withholds a worker's wages malalav akasiv kihilu notos nasho. It's like you killed the person. While this mitzvah doesn't seem surprising and would seem intuitive, after all, there is an explicit or implicit contract between employer and employed. It is essential that we remember that while many of us are fortunate enough not to live paycheck to paycheck, there are those who do. And delaying their payment, sometimes even by a day, can create a crisis for them. It should be one's habit to be punctilious in paying one's employees or anyone who does work for them in a timely and punctual manner. This includes if you run a business and you have employees, or paying contractors who do a specific job for you, and perhaps most importantly, if you employ household help of any kind. Biyomo, sipein sechalo. There is a second mitzvah in this week's parasha, which also relates to how one treats one's employees. It is of a very different kind and speaks to deeper theological issues. The Torah tells us, Ki savo becherem reyecha, v'achalta anachim kenafshecha savecha, ve'elkel yechalo sipein. When you enter the vineyard of your friend, you may eat grapes to satisfy yourself, but you cannot put into your kli, into your vessel, to take with you. Ki savo bekamas reyecha, when you pass through the field of grain of your friend, bekotaftam elilos v'yadecha, you can pluck off kernels with your hand. Becharmesh lo samif al kamas reyecha, but you cannot wave the sickle against them to cut it with a kli. The mainstream halachic interpretation of these two verses is found in the Sefrei and in the Mishnah, and is cited by Rashi. V'poel hakosav ledaver. The Torah is not speaking about someone who's walking through another person's field. It's talking about a poa, someone who is working for the balabais, harvesting the crops. The Torah here speaks of an agricultural worker who the Torah dictates is permitted to partake of the produce he is gathering. He is allowed to eat on the spot, but he may not take with him once he leaves the field, and in the case of the grain, he is allowed to harvest with his hand that which he will eat personally, but not with a sickle. But there is an outlying shita which the Gemara mentions. The Amar Rav, Matzasi Megillah Starim, Bei Rabbi Chiya. I found a Megillah Starim. They weren't supposed to write things down. Anyway, this was written down and hidden away. Because of Ba'isi Ben Yehuda Omer Ki Savo Becherem Re'echa Bevias Kol Adam Akas Medaber. Anybody who's walking through another person's field can pluck some fruits off the tree. Amar, the Amar Rav commented, Lo Shavak Isi Chai L'Chagriya. Isi's approach would allow nobody to survive, because if everybody walks through my field and can pluck some fruits, I'll be left with nothing. Isi's view is definitely rejected as not being a valid halachic position. A non-worker may under no circumstances pluck from privately owned fruits. Doing so is an act of theft. But one might still ask, what is the basis for Isi's position? And what might it tell us with respect to the accepted halachic position for a poa? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in discussing the issue of poel ochel min haTorah, asks a very basic question. That is, when the poel eats, is it mishamohu ochel or mishal shamayim ochel? Is he eating basically that of his own, which means it's an implicit as part of his contract with the balabayas guarantee, but it really belongs to him? Or is it basically given to him by the Ribono Shel Olam? The nafka mina presented in the Gemara is that when a worker brings his minor child along to work with him in the fields, and that was fairly common, hence summer vacation today is a vestige of that, as we pointed out, can he stipulate, can the father stipulate with the employer that the child will not eat in exchange for greater compensation? If it is mishalo, then he can. If he's ochel mishalo, because he has the right of financial decisions and compensation for a minor child he's supporting. He's entitled to the child's maaseh yadayim because he feeds his child. And if that belongs to him, then he can forego that right in exchange for greater payment. But if it is mishel shamayim ochel, he cannot be mocha on behalf of anybody without that person's consent, and a minor child is not legally capable of being mocha, of foregoing his rights. The conclusion of the Gemara is not entirely clear, but the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both rule mishel shamayim hu ochel. It's from God. It doesn't really belong to the poel. It doesn't belong to the Baal Bayis, doesn't belong to the Pole, it belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. The ethic implied here is that neither the Baal Bayis nor the Pole are able to fundamentally alter the right of anyone working to eat where the Torah gives them permission to eat. Of course, the Pole is not obligated to eat any of the produce himself, and if if he wants, he can make a personal deal with the Baal HaBayis not to eat himself in exchange for some kind of additional payment. And that's fine. But any worker who cannot give consent for mechila cannot have his or her right to cancel. The halacha here teaches us that even though there is a financial agreement between the relevant parties, and normally a person can be maskil mashakasa b'torah v'dabar shabamaman and tzra'ukai, nonetheless, the core obligation of how a worker must be treated remains in force, and the poel's right to eat, which the Torah has awarded him, remains in place. But what? Because our rights over our property, despite the ability to make a tanai, are limited. And this is a reminder of L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Molah, that everything belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam, and he is kind enough to allow us to partake in most cases. Ownership of property is far, far from absolute. And to ask a poel to work and watch all of this food passing by when it is already in a permissible and edible form, it's tolosh min hakarka, and it's not chayav in trumos and maisis yet, and for the poel to have to be hungry while all this food is being picked, is treated as a kind of tzar balei chayim. It is analogized very much to Mosach Tzom Shor B'Tisha. Isi's position is simply one step further in this direction. A person passing through your field who experiences some hunger is allowed to take a little bit of God's bounty that happens to be growing from your land. It's not very much that he's taking, and in one sense, it isn't really yours. It's L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Molah. Nonetheless, the halacha rejects Isi's position. In fact, it is so extreme that it could only be found in a Megillah stone. But then we should ask, why? Is it really just a pragmatic concern expressed by Rav that the whole world will eat you out of, you know, house and home, or whatever the expression is? Perhaps. Although I suspect that there's a more obvious distinction between the two cases, that of the poel and that of the regular passerby. And that is, poel ochel is rooted in a contract, not in a contract between this poel and this Baal HaBayis, two individuals who have an agreement between them, but rather in a broader societal interest in how all poelim are treated by all Baal HaBayis. Employer-employee relationships are not just an agreement between two individuals, but part of a broader societal compact which is rooted in limiting the absoluteness of private ownership. L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Molah, and poel is Nishal Shamayim Ochel. That compact means that a Baal HaBayis has special responsibilities to his poelim that extend beyond the agreed-upon terms of the contract, to treat them in a manner of taking responsibility for their welfare. Of course, poelim have obligations to the Baal HaBayis, significant obligations, and his enterprise, although it is clear from the fact that poel is chozer bo b'chatzi ayom, that in certain respects, the Baal HaBayis' obligations towards his employees outweigh their obligations towards him. And it is with this that I think we can perhaps understand the story of Rabbi Barachanan and his workers. Of course, when viewed from the vantage point of strict contractual terms, Rabbi was correct. They should have had to compensate him, and certainly he shouldn't have had to pay them wages for a job they didn't do. But if we look at this from the vantage point of the social compact of broader society, it is not difficult to understand why this might be a desirable income. Rabbi was easily able to afford it, and his workers were impoverished. And that is very often, not always, the situation of the employer and the employees. It is often a situation where, by the very definition, that he as the owner is wealthier and the employees are more likely to be struggling. He is one who typically has greater power over them and they are more vulnerable. Let's be clear. As Rav was, al-Kidin, by the letter of the law, Rav was correct. But Rav told him that he was supposed to adhere to a higher standard, which was Leman Helech Bederach Tovim V'Orchos Tadkin Teshmor. The Torah's hashkafa is that an employer has an even greater responsibility to his employees and their welfare than they do for his, as tremendous and serious as that responsibility is. The halacha may only demand that an employer treat his employee up until a certain line, but a Torah true Jew answers to a higher authority, V'asisa hayashar v'hatov b'nei Hashem. As a commandment in a specific situation in life, this mitzvah may be optional, this nimishur asadin. But as a way of life, like its twin mitzvah, Kadosh and Piyu, it is mandatory. The Gemara in Subas tells us that the Amoraim were careful to make sure that their servants who were serving as waiters be allowed to enjoy a little of the food before they serve the guests. I believe that the minhag today in restaurants, many restaurants, not all, in fancy restaurants, that after they prepared the meal and done all the steps that's going to be served, the staff eats before they go out and do the service. That's what the Amoraim used to do. While not required under the letter of the law, Polal Ocham and Torah, because this was well past the sage, even if it was the right kind of food, it was a davar shenemar malachto, this was certainly an attempt by the Amoraim to fulfill the spirit of that law. The Gemara in Shubas tells us in this context, Avu bar ihi uminyamin bar ihi, two brothers, they had slightly different practices. Chad safi mikol mino mina, one of them would allow the waiters to taste each of the dishes. They could have a little bit of each to enjoy each of them. Vechad safi mechad mina, one gave them all from one dish, enough that they wouldn't be hungry, so it wouldn't be torture for them. Mar mishkai Eliyahu baden, umar lo mishkai Eli baden. One of them, Eliyahu Navi, would come and learn. They would study together. The other one, not so much. The one who used to make sure that they would taste from every delicacy, not just that they wouldn't be hungry, but they shouldn't even have any slight sense of deprivation, he's the one that Eliyahu Navi used to come and visit. The other one, he's a tzaddik, not on the level for Eliyahu Navi to join him. The Rambam, in the concluding passage of Hilchas Avadim, tells us that Mutar Lacho Ve'Evet Kenani Befarach, based upon the pasuk in Parashas Bahar, the prohibition of Avodas Parach does not apply to an Evet Kenani, it only applies to an Evet Ifrit. The Afal Pisha Hadinkach, even though that is technically the law, Midas Hasidus V'Darchei Chachma, Sheyia Adam Rachman V'Rodev Tzedek, a person should be merciful and pursue justice. V'lo Yachbid Ulo Ha'Avdo, he shouldn't overburden his servant. V'lo Yetzer Lo, he shouldn't cause him pain. V'yachileu V'yashkeu Mikol Machal Mikol Mishnah, he should make sure he enjoys all the same things that he would be serving. Chachamim harishonim hayu noskim le'evan yikol tasha v'tasha shayu ofen u'matinen mizon ha'behema shavadam l'su desatzma. Their animals and their servants ate before they ate. Harehu omer ke'enei apadim al yad adonehem ke'enei shikol yad giver tot. We ask God to treat us in a way, and when we look to God as his avadim, that we look to him for protection, for help. Well, guess what? You better treat others the same way who are in the same reverse position. You should not humiliate your Eved either physically or with words. La'avdus and sarana kasev lo labusha. Torah permits avdus, permits servitude, slavery. It does not permit humiliation. V'lo yar be'alav tzaka v'chas. You shouldn't get angry at him and scream at him. El yedaver imo benachas. V'yishma kanosa. You should speak with him with gentleness and listen when he has a complaint. V'chein meforish v'darke iyo v'atovim. Shishrabeach v'hem. When Eov justified himself as to question why God punished him, he said, "Im emas nishvat aviv amasiv rivam yadi." I rejected the complaint of my Eved and Amma when they argued with me. Halo bebeten oseni asav vayichunena berechem echad. We were created in the same womb. Ve'ein ha'achzarius ha'azos metzuyas ela ba'akum ovdei avodah zarah. Cruelty and brazenness is only supposed to be found amongst the idolaters. Aval zar shel Avram Avinu, the descendants of Avram Avinu, the Hem Yisrael, the Jewish people, she'eshkia lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu tovas haTorah, God endowed us or bestowed upon us the goodness of Torah, v'tzivo sam b'chukam u'mishpatim tzadikim, he has given us just laws and principles, are rachmanim heim al hakol, are supposed to be compassionate with all. And similarly, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes, Kivayocha, that we are commanded to be like him, who Omer, the Rachamav, Al Kol Ma'asav. His mercy is upon all of his creatures. V'chol HaMerachamim, HaMerachim, Merachim Lav. One who shows mercy, mercy will be shown for him. Shenemar V'nasam V'chol Rachamim, V'richamcha V'herbecha. If this is true of Avadim, how much more of Poalim, of workers? The Torah's message is clear. The choice for us is whether we wish to act as Zara Shel Avraham Avinu. Shabbos.